Hello and welcome to this Monday's edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoog, your host. Glad to have you with us. The cold weather is hanging with us. Hope you're hanging in wherever you are, trying to stay warm as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. It's been a rush morning for me. I hope you'll, if it has been for you, I hope you'll slow down. Listen, we have some presentations to bring you today that I think you'll find very interesting and entertaining as well. We're going to start. It is the 32nd season of the Heartland Men's Chorus. I guess they've had one big event so far.
Yeah.
And they're going to have another one, several others coming up. The next one, it'll be December 2nd and December 3rd. Then another event on December the 10th in different places. Different programs. We're going to talk all about that today. The Heartland Men's Chorus in its 32nd season. With us to tell us all about it, Dustin Cates, the artistic director of the Heartland Men's Chorus, from anywhere between 115 to 180 people. We'll sing for you in these holiday, maybe they're not all holiday presentations. We'll find out during the course of the interview today. And we'll talk about the variety of music. He is a tenor himself. Sings. I guess he's an artistic director that also sings with the chorus as well. He's going to tell us all about the presentations coming up. Cliff Schiappa is the development director. He has a low bass, and whenever you introduce a singer, you really need to say what they are on the scale, because that's very important. He is, we'll hear all about him in a little while, but he's a low bass with the concert, as well as the development director of the Heartland Men's Chorus as well. We'll talk about their upcoming concerts. We'll go to Dustin first. You had a big success. I saw in your publicity that you performed before what you estimate might be the largest audience you've ever performed before?
For a concert, yes. We recently performed, I guess it was a week ago, 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago, yeah. In the new sanctuary at Church of the Resurrection out in Leawood. They allowed us to perform a concert out there on a Friday evening, and it was a huge success. Had, I think, close to 1,200 people there.
That's right.
It was sort of an opportunity for us to take our chorus and our voices outside of the downtown, midtown area to an audience who may not have heard us before.
Well, that is, as they say, a big room.
Yeah, it is a large room.
How many folks got in there?
Singers, we had about 90 singers of our troops singing with us for the fall concert, and then I think total they can fit about 3,000 people in the sanctuary. So we filled up most of the floor. We didn't use the balcony.
Do you prepare a show differently when you know it's going to be a big room, a big audience?
Certainly, I think the performance should match the venue, or alteration should be made to the performance to match the venue. In this case, we were working with a few variables that we hadn't before, which included camera angles and gigantic screens and that sort of stuff. And so we worked really hard with our production team to come up with graphics and camera angles and who should be on camera at this point during the song and those sorts of things. So I think that was also a really interesting and kind of fun new thing for our regular audience members who joined us out there as well.
Well, it sounds like they do it as if it were a television performance as well. And maybe it is. Is it shown?
The church services are regularly broadcast on the internet. And then this particular performance was not, because it was our performance, and we really don't have the infrastructure for broadcasting things. But they will provide us with a video later for archival purposes and that sort of stuff. But it was a great experience for us to be in there in that environment and adding that element to our performance. I think a lot of people really enjoyed it.
Well, I only bring that up because if it's on the church's website, maybe it can be seen there.
We have some video clips we'll be releasing, but the church just offered us the space. It was still a Heartland Men's Chorus performance, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds great. A big room like that, but you have concerts coming up.
Yes, we do.
You have concerts. The next one is on December 2nd, mm-hmm. and on December 3rd, the December 2nd performance is at 8 o'clock p.m. The December 3rd performance is at 4 o'clock p.m., and that will be at the Historic Folly Theater downtown at 300 West 12th Street, and you will be, tell us about what you'll be doing for those two particular concerts.
Sure. I think we're probably most well known for our holiday concerts. Historically, those are our highest attended concerts, and I think it's because it's Heartland Men's Chorus at its best. Beautiful, you know, maybe choral music that might be seen as more legitimate choral music, but then also camp and fun and drag queens and that sort of stuff. Sure. As well. And so I think if you're, particularly if you haven't seen Heartland Men's Chorus ever before, it's a great way to get to know us, because we do everything that we do well in those concerts. And, you know, who likes to celebrate the holidays without a choir? And so we're a big old gay choir and big old gay Christmas choir in this case.
Cliff Schiappa is the development director. He is a low bass.
I am
so
low
he
bass.
Sing as well as being involved with the development of the group. He is also a singer in the chorus as well.
Right. I've been singing with the chorus for 15 years now, and started working for the chorus about 9 years ago. And one thing that I want to mention is that all of our concerts are perfect for families. I mean, anyone can should show up for this. If you enjoy music, then get in the door and get in a seat, because it's a terrific way to celebrate the holidays. As we say, it's the non-traditional tradition.
Non-traditional holiday tradition.
That's
yeah.
right, because our music is and our entertainment is so unique. It's terrific. And by the way, I want to mention right up front about this fake news that sometimes gets out there. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of people talking about how, oh, our concerts are always sold out. We can't get a seat, so we won't even bother trying to get in the door. That's not true. For this concert at the Folly and out at Yardley Hall, we've got 3,500 seats to fill. There will be a seat available. So if you've got a hankering for Christmas music, come on out and see us. We'll have a seat for you.
What does the development director do?
Development director, it's a fancy way of saying I'm a fundraiser. Or as I like to say, what I do is I develop relationships. You know, as with most performing arts organizations, ticket sales only account for about 35% of the overall budget. So we need to come up with another 65% of our budget, and that's my job. And we raise money from individual donations from people, just as KKFI does.
Oh, all the time.
All the time. and we have the individual donors are generous and passionate about the chorus. But we also get money from foundations, from corporations, from the government. We have a broad source of funding, thank yeah. goodness.
You're in your 32nd season. How did the chorus begin? I would assume it began smaller than what it is now.
Yes. In fact, it started 32 years ago on the front porch of a house in Midtown, over on Charlotte Street, I believe. And there were five guys sitting around. They had just been to a gay choral festival up in Minneapolis. They came back and said, Kansas City needs a gay chorus. And so they started talking to friends, and the first concert that they did had 30 singers, and we've grown from there. The chorus really, when it was formed, this was 1986, at a time when the gay community was under attack by not only homophobic people, but also by a virus. And so the chorus provided a nice sanctuary for people to come and be who they are and get to meet new people and to then spread the word about Heartland Men's Chorus.
You know, what kinds of venues have you been in over the years? You're in big places now.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We've started in small places. Our very first concert was at UMKC in Pearson Auditorium, and we've performed at well, we do concerts not only in Kansas City, but we go elsewhere. We've traveled the world, in fact. But just, let's see, last summer we did a little road trip across western Kansas, and we sang in a small little art center in Russell, Kansas.
Oh.
It was full of standing room only. In fact, Dustin had to stand in the audience area to conduct the chorus.
Really?
And it was an amazing adventure. But we've sung in halls that are, you know, can seat 3,000. We've sung at Royal Stadium. They seat 36,000.
Sure.
Or 40,000. But we also do small performances as well.
Yeah.
Like in the front yard of the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka.
Oh, well, that would be an interesting place to go.
Yeah.
Was that a friendly environment?
I don't think they stayed home for our performance. I think they left and went somewhere else. We had a large supportive audience that didn't include the Phelps family.
I see. Well, you've hung on a long time.
Yes,
probably as successful now as you've ever been.
I would like to think so, yes.
Yeah. About how many concerts do you have a year?
During each year.
Yeah, during the course of
this. How many over the year? Because I just have three listed here. I'm sure you have more than that.
So there are multiple performances of each of those sort of main stage concerts, but you know, countless community outreach performances by small groups or members of the chorus who are available to come out in the afternoon on a weeknight or weekday and sing for a given event. So we do our best to be as involved in the community as possible and give back that way.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the people are saying, I want to hear about the concerts coming up. So,
sure.
So we will talk about that. The first two, I guess, are of a similar program.
Mm-hmm.
That would be on December the 2nd at 8 o'clock p.m. and then on December the 3rd at 4 o'clock p.m. Both of these performances are at the Historic Folly Theater. And I always say Historic Folly Theater because if you go, you see posters of performers from many years past, and I've heard stories about other performers that performed there over the years. The Folly was redone in, was it the 70s?
80s.
Yeah. And it is restored to a lot of the glory. In fact, it probably looks a lot better than it did way back then when it was on the regular vaudeville tour, which it was. Yeah. So that's why you saw a lot of the performers. They weren't as famous when they played the Folly, but they became famous because they were on these tours. And that's where the chorus will be on December 2nd and December 3rd. Tell us about who is going to be involved with you and what kind of program it's going to be.
Sure. We'll be performing in the newly named C. Stephen Metzler Hall, which is what they're calling the theater portion of the Folly now, in honor of Steve Metzler, one of the chorus's great supporters and advocates for not only the LGBTQ community, but Kansas City, AIDS research here in the city as well. So we're honored to be performing in the newly christened Steve Metzler Hall. So the concert will feature, the first weekend will feature a string quartet called Well Strung out of New York City, but they perform all over the world. A very handsome string quartet, dynamic as well, and they'll be performing along with us as well as some solo numbers in that first weekend of concerts. In general, the concert is sort of a celebration of the holidays. We both take a more serious look with choral classics and carols and that sort of thing. And then when we sort of transition to Act Two, we take a more whimsical look at the holidays, and that's when you see dancing fruitcake or Mrs. Claus, who underneath is actually Mr. Claus, all those kinds of things.
We understand.
Yeah, so we take a more humorous look at the holidays.
Is that the usual formula?
Yeah, I think it's one that works. I think people want, the familiarity of carols that they sung their entire lives. And then they also like to laugh and enjoy themselves. And so we really do try to provide something for everyone. You should never walk away from any of our performances saying, wow, I just didn't really like anything, because there's something for everyone at all of our concerts. We also, at the end of each of our holiday concerts, take an opportunity to honor the members of Heartland Men's Chorus who've passed away over the last 32 years. We call these members our Ad Astra members. And we sing a song that we dedicate to them. We list their names in the program. And we think it's a really sort of special way to honor the people who've served us but are no longer with us. Then when we move to the next weekend, on December 10th, we'll be at Yardley Hall.
I guess they don't see it enough to beat the church. It's a big room. That's why I brought that up earlier. I was thinking, well, you might be able to beat your previous record.
Yardley Hall is actually maybe a more expanded version of the Folly Theater, really, as far as number of seats go. It's just not as quaint as far as stage space. It's a little larger as far as stage space goes. We'll have sort of an equal number of seats as we do at the Folly out at Yardley. We will change some of our special guests. Strung won't be with us when we're at Yardley Hall. However, we will have a special guest who lives here in Kansas City, but has recently come back from a run of Sunday in the Park with George on Broadway. He starred in that with Jake Gyllenhaal, Claiborne Elder. Claiborne's an actor and singer and new father of a little baby boy, Bo. He's married to Eric Rosen, who's the artistic director.
Oh, really? Okay. We heard all about Eric's new child last week.
Yeah, I was just recently talking to Claiborne, and he said, "Now, how do you feel about me having the baby strapped to me while I sing?" And I said, "I actually don't mind that at all. I think everyone would love that. So we'll see. I can't promise that the baby will make a guest appearance, but that could be a thing that happens." So Claiborne will be singing. And we'll also have a guest string quartet out at Yardley Hall, the graduate string quartet from the Conservatory of Music and Dance here in Kansas City at UMKC.
Yeah, when you put together a program like that, what goes into your thinking? You said a little bit earlier.
Sure. I think variety. And then we always work really hard to weave songs together that communicate a broader theme of love and inclusivity and making a difference. We want our singers and our audiences to feel like they're better as a result of having been to our concerts. So that might be by sharing, you know, the emotion of this sort of melancholy emotion about thinking about holidays past. Or it might be, you know, we're talking about the members of Heartland Men's Chorus or our own family who we don't have with us anymore.
True.
But it also is joy, you know. I am laughing and enjoying the holidays with my family and friends who I'm sitting with, and in many cases the singers on stage who I'm either related to or, you know, have loved over the years.
Yes, we must never forget that the holidays are joyous, but for some people they're the hardest time of the year
as well.
So we must bear that in mind.
You're right.
As we go forward. You mentioned earlier that only ticket sales amount only, was it 30%?
35% roughly.
So do you have, you do special events, and do you have corporate sponsorship and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a number of corporations and retailers here in town that support us very generously. Hallmark is one of them, DST, Cafe Trio. I run the risk of forgetting some, but it may even be right in there. There we go.
It's helpful.
I have the latest issue of Camp Magazine, and so of course all the logos. So it's Hotel Phillips they're a presenting sponsor of our entire season. They are very generous with us. Missouri Arts Council, Kansas City Neighborhood Tourist Development Fund, Arts KC. Lathrop & Gage, the law firm that's well-known in town, Macy's, McCoy's over in Westport, and Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams Furniture Store. So those are our corporate sponsors and government funders. Plus we have foundations and you know, all sorts of sources.
Well, it's a big help to have sponsors helping.
It's a huge help, believe me. And one of the cool things is prior to each concert, I do a little welcoming speech in front of the curtain, and I always thank our sponsors, and people will cheer when I say some of the names because they love hearing that, oh, gee whiz, Macy's or Lathrop & Gage or any of those corporations that they know so well because either they work there, they have friends that work there, or they shop there, or they eat there, Cafe Trio. They appreciate having the good name of Heartland Men's Chorus associated with the good name of that company.
Sure. Oh, I was surprised at the cheering as well. When I host Dance in the Park every summer, I also have to read a list of the sponsors, and yes, they often do get applause.
Yes, they do.
People appreciate what they do.
We have so many different. I mean, for instance, we just had a big fundraiser about a month ago, and we have so many people donating individual items for our silent auction. So probably 100 different shops in town that do that. And I'm always so grateful for that. And I'm going to get on my soapbox if I may. But, you know, so many people now are shopping at Amazon. Well, let me tell you, what one shop here donates to us exceeds what Amazon gives to us, let me tell you. So I just wish everyone would look in our playbill, see the list of people that support us, the list of stores and companies that support us, and in turn go back and support them by shopping there.
Sure.
But if you do have to shop at Amazon, be sure to give the donation proceeds to Heartland Men's Chorus.
Okay. Are you able to do that on Amazon?
I'm not going to give a commercial to Amazon because Cliff may have a heart attack, but smile.amazon.com and then donate to Heartland Men's Chorus.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that you could specify like that.
Yeah, you can. But shop locally first.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You really should.
Oh, well, sure.
I agree with you.
That's right. We're speaking with two gentlemen from the Heartland Men's Chorus, talking about their show coming up, Packages with Bows, Beaus, spelled B-E-A-U-S, because it is men, of course. It is their holiday concert. There are three opportunities to see different versions of the concert. The first would be on December the 2nd at 8 o'clock p.m. and December the 3rd at 4 o'clock p.m. at the historic Folly Theater. Now, that is downtown. If you've never visited the Folly, it's at 300 West 12th Street. You take a look to the past. It's a restored building, of course, but the old-time vaudeville played there for years, and it's been, the building's been many things over the years. But you can imagine, as I always try to do, some of the historic figures in entertainment that played that building. And that just makes it all the more special. So there are still some posters up that you can see. A visit to the Folly is always very worthwhile, including the show that you go to see. And their performance on December the 10th is at Yardley Hall with Claiborne Elder. He's fresh from the Broadway stage. Also, the UMKC String Quartet will be playing there as well. And the show is slightly different, as you explained, from the one the previous weekend.
Yeah, primarily in regard to our guest artists. The chorus numbers are all the same, but our guest artists will be providing some different pieces, just because we've swapped artists between the first and second weekend.
Sure. Well, let's get down to some specifics here. You have a website, hmckc.org. Are they able to make their plans online as well?
Yes, mm-hmm. They can. They can buy tickets online at that website. They can also make their end-of-year donations on that website. Or they can call the office to buy tickets.
Is that this 931 number I have?
Yes, it is.
816-931-3338 to do
That's
that. Right. And the Folly has a number, too. I don't want to confuse people. Sometimes when people have things there, they use the Folly's number.
No,
but you prefer them
us.
To do this?
Definitely okay. Call us.
Say the Heartland Men's Course number, 816-931-3338. And if you like doing things online, some people do. They like doing all their business online, hmckc.org, to see the performances of the Heartland Men's Chorus. And that would be for the ones the first weekend at the Folly and the second weekend at Yardley Hall.
That's right. And the show at Yardley Hall starts at 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 10th.
Okay. On December 10th.
And, you know, what's really interesting, too, is the audiences are different. If, you know, the audiences that are at the Folly Theater versus the audiences out at Yardley Hall. And we get so much energy from the audiences by their reaction to us. And so when they cheer, when they applaud, that gives us greater strength and we sound even better then. And so it's so much fun because generally the audience at the Folly are our longtime audience members. These are the folks that have been with us all 32 years, some of them. And they have such a great passion for us. And we always feel good singing for them. But then some of our newer audience members are out there at Yardley Hall, and we love to make a very good first impression with them. So it's exciting. Either place. It's a wonderful show.
Oh, sure. Well, I've managed to talk away most of the half hour. We have like 4 minutes to go.
Sure.
Now, I know that's not a lot of time, but I'm sure there are people listening who are thinking, I'm a decent singer. I wouldn't mind auditioning for these folks. How would they go about doing that?
Come to rehearsal. We welcome new singers to visit us at the beginning of each of our concert cycles, is what we call them. The preparation period between concerts, we call our concert cycle. And so we will begin in January working on our spring concert music. And you can go to our website, hmckc.org, and find information about how to join the chorus. There, and as well as dates as regarding when rehearsal starts and that sort of stuff. And we welcome all singers who can sing tenor, baritone, or bass. And we don't require you to be gay to sing in Heartland Men's Chorus. We have quite a few straight guys who sing with us, and even one female who's a baritone.
Oh.
And so we ask that you come and have a love for singing and making a difference, and that's really about all we require.
I was going to ask about the breakdown. You kind of answered the question. Are you looking for more than one type, or are you looking for more tenors probably than baritones?
Oh, you're always looking for more tenors if you're a choir director. but I think we'll take anybody if they've got a beautiful voice and a great heart and a willingness to serve our community through singing. And I think there are lots of opportunities to do that. One thing I would love to mention before we go that I'm equally excited about, in addition to this upcoming concert, is Heartland Men's Chorus is embarking on starting a school outreach program called Out in Our Schools. We're collaborating for the first performance with Lincoln College Preparatory Academy, where we'll take a concert with multimedia into a school and present a program that addresses anti-bullying and being kind and treating each other with respect, and provide some pre and post materials to address the issue of bullying in schools, and particularly through the lens of how LGBTQ kids are more likely to experience those bullying and harassment things that happen in schools all too often, and you know, are oftentimes more likely to commit suicide and those sorts of things. And so if you want to make music that makes a difference, you need to participate in the Life of Heartland Men's Chorus, because that's what we try to do every day.
Sure.
And you know, it's also a great social opportunity, a great way to meet new people in the chorus. So if people are interested, our first rehearsal is January 2nd for the next concert. And they should come to that rehearsal. We rehearse at Grace and Holy Trinity at 13th and Broadway at 7 p.m., and they should stop by and see what it's all about. And if they like it, we'll ask them to audition and a couple of weeks later, and most likely they'll get into the chorus.
Yeah. A special skill level do you like them to be at? You're professional.
Absolutely. We like that. We certainly, you know, value the ability to read music and experience in singing, but we have people who come because they need a family. You know, we have singers in our chorus who have recently come out, and they've been married to their wife and have children, and have come to that realization, you know, and they're in their 40s or 50s, and they don't have a family, and so that's what they're looking for. And my job is to cultivate anybody's voice, but of course we'd like a base level of ability to sing, but we'll teach you all the other details if we have to. But I'm certainly not saying we wouldn't turn away somebody who's been a soloist on the Metropolitan Opera stage or something like that. We love all kinds of singers, but we just a good heart and a nice voice, and you can participate in Heartland Men's Chorus.
And we also have non-singing roles in the chorus. So if you, let's say you can't sing or your work schedule doesn't permit to come to all the rehearsals, we have a group called Heartlight, and they are the support group of the chorus. And so you still get the social benefits, but you're not singing at that time.
Sure. Let me recap quickly. December 2nd and 3rd at the Historic Folly Theater. The 2nd is at 8 o'clock p.m. The 3rd is at 4 o'clock p.m. The first opportunity. The second opportunity would be a week later, December 10th, at Yardley Hall. Claiborne Elder will be featured then, fresh from the Broadway stage, and others as well on the program. The number to call for more information, 816-931-3338, or you can hop online to hear more about what the gentlemen have talked about and perhaps make arrangements too if you'd like to, hmckc.org. Thank you so much for being with us, and tell us about the holiday presentation of the Heartland Men's Chorus. You are known for that. You know that as well. In the 32nd season of the course, Dustin Cates, the artistic director, and Cliff Schiappa, the development director of the Heartland Men's Chorus. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Earth. Things are going on all over the Earth. Yeah, the Actors Equity Readers Theater, actually, is another name they go by. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to cover the Earth now. I always like to say that.
You do.
The Equity Actors Readers Theater, also known as Earth, has opened their season, their current season. They've already had one performance, but they have some other ones coming up that we want to talk about with Kip Niven, the project coordinator for all of the Earth.
For the entire Earth,
For the entire Earth.
As we know it.
Kip is a well-known performer in his own right. He has appeared in motion pictures, television shows, on the stage, quite well-known for his singing as well.
And thank you.
He is part of, I might as well start by, why did you start Earth?
Well, One of the great joys that I had growing up in getting my feet wet in theater, I guess, was a classmate of mine in Shawnee Mission East back 150 years ago, had a much broader literary knowledge of theater lore than I. And he invited friends of ours to all come over to sit around in his house in his living room and read through plays. Because Frank knew all the plays, but maybe had read all the plays, but hadn't heard them read. And it was a great source of joy just to read amongst friends these great works of literature. And that's stayed in my mind for a long time. And then as time has gone on and fewer theaters are doing productions of large cast shows or multi-set shows or shows with, God forbid, three whole acts in them, those great scripts aren't being done as often as they once were. In fact, it's rare for them to be done on a professional stage. They're relegated more to educational theater and to community theater. So I got the idea of, wouldn't it be great to just get some friends together and read through some of these wonderful plays, give us each a chance to work together, and maybe invite an audience. And I talked to the folks at Actors Equity Association, the union for professional actors, theater actors, and stage managers in the United States. And they said, well, you know, you could probably do this under a code that we have called the Members Project Code, which allows individual members to produce their own work. And I said, well, we're not interested in doing a production. We're just talking about doing a reading. And they said, well, that'd be fine as long as it doesn't go for more than 20 performances and you're not performing for more than 99 seats at a time. Well, the theater that we tracked down at the time was – and please forget this, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not there anymore. But at the time it was the auditorium in the Music and Arts Building at St. Teresa's Academy in Midtown, in the Brookside area. And it sat 407 people.
Oh, it's big.
And so I talked to Equity and said, look, that's for a 20-performance run. You'd play 99 seats. You'd play to 2,000 people. So what if we did it only one night in this 400-seat theater? They said, that'd be fine. So Equity worked with us to kind of create a Kansas City Earth-specific version of the Members Project Code, which let us move forward. And I wrote to my friend Doug Weaver, who is a wonderful teacher and actor in Lawrence with whom I'd worked before. And I said, Doug, I'm thinking about putting together a group of people to read plays and in front of an audience. Will you send me a list of 10 plays that you'd like to direct? And he wrote back and said, 10? I'll give you a list of 100. So I knew I'd found my partner in crime, and we have been working together. This will be our 18th presentation, I guess. We went 3 years in a row doing 5 shows each year, and then we lost our house. The folks at St. Teresa's got so busy in their own right that the auditorium was booked, and they said, no, we can't have any outside groups. And so we've been on hiatus until this last September, when we did a really wonderful reading of, I wasn't in it, so I can say this. It was just a wonderful group of actors, and we did a reading of Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee's Inherit the Wind. That was really terrific. And of course, it's strangely and curiously still very timely. We have 3 more dates coming up that I'll be happy to tell you about. Our new home is now staged at Theater 2 at Musical Theater Heritage in Crown Center. As many people know, Musical Theater Heritage has their own slate of wonderful productions in their main stage.
Yeah.
But these are the theaters that were converted from movie theaters, and the middle-sized theaters, Stage 2, the one where we'll be. And it seats 103, so it's perfect for the equity rules and a much more intimate.
Just put tape
intimate
over 4 of the seats.
That's right. A much more intimate atmosphere. And then the third stage is now a dedicated dance studio, although it's still flexible enough that they can have performances there as well, other than dance performances.
Yeah, you talked about doing your own production. You're actually adapting this particular one? Does that violate the rules? Sometimes?
No, it's not. Equity actually doesn't care who the writer is. The next production we're going to do is December the 4th, Monday night. We do these our performances on Monday nights because that's traditionally, as you know, Michael, in professional theater, that's usually what the theater is dark. There aren't performances as a rule, although lately there have been more added performance and for industry nights and so forth so that other working actors can see the work of their peers. But in this case, and all of our shows moving forward will be Monday nights. And December 4th, in this case, it's being done at Just Off Broadway Theater. Warren Deckard is the artistic director of Phoenix KC Theater, and he has a bi-monthly play reading series called Out Loud, and it's for Kansas City-based authors and playwrights to have their – Kansas City area-based have their plays read and have a talk back afterwards so that playwrights can have feedback. And I said, well, I didn't really write this, but I've adapted it, and certainly wasn't from my original idea. And he said, well, let me see the script. And he liked it and thinks it has merit. So we're going to do that Monday, the December 12th.
Yeah, you wanted to adapt it. What were the thinking behind what
well,
you wanted
it,
to do?
Well, it was actually my freshman year of college, I went to Baylor University, and it was a mistake for me, and I'm sure for Baylor. And I went to Shawnee Mission East, as I mentioned, and I would guess that probably in our class of 620, I'm guessing that there were probably 90% of us went on to college, and probably 70% of that 90 went to either KU, K-State, or MU. And I was determined not to go to KU, so I went to Baylor with two friends of mine, colleagues of mine. And it was not a good fit for two of us. The other stayed and has done quite well as a Baylor Bear alum. But I left and came to KU, and it turned out that KU was a perfect fit for me. I was very busy, and they did 15 major productions a year. I was in as many of them as I possibly could, as schedule would allow. And the very first one that I was in was Doctor in Spite of Himself. And it's a very funny look at the peculiarities, the quirks of the medical profession. But if you're looking for an adult intellectual discussion of the merits of Obamacare versus repeal and replace, this ain't it. This is more with rubber chickens and whoopee cushions than it would be with erudite discussions of
a show that might have been more comfortable at the Folly on the Folly circuit.
Well, it's interesting because the play was Molière wrote centuries ago, but much of the humor is still very contemporary. Some of the language, some of the translations weren't. They're a little stiff and a little academic, and I'd like to think I'm neither of those. But so I took my hand at adapting it, and I've incorporated some old vaudeville material into it that I hope will be entertaining for folks. And the safest thing that I've done as an adapter is to have Doug direct, as he has done all of the Earth readings, and then we've assembled an absolutely wonderful cast, all of Kansas City-based actors, Greater Kansas City. And so this will be literally the first time that I've heard it. When we sit down for rehearsal the Sunday before, it'll be the first time that I've heard it by anyone's voices other than the ones inside my head.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I remember the first one I saw was The Man Who Came to Dinner. That was at the one at St. Teresa's.
And that was our first winter show. Yeah.
You had a wide variety of some of Kansas City's finest going on. I guess it's on a Monday, so you won't. The ones that are in the Christmas Carol will still be able to make it.
Well, sadly, we won't have any Christmas Carol actors this year because they have a Sunday evening performance the night of our rehearsal. Oh. So we are fighting like every theater in Kansas City is for the cream of the crop because there's not only that production, but the Unicorn has a wonderful theater, a wonderful show going on. The Living Room has their Christmas show, their holiday show. So we've had to negotiate the schedules of those actors working in others in order to see if we can fit them into our rehearsal and performance schedule.
Okay, so I'll just ask, who among Kansas City's finest do you have for this presentation?
At the top of the list, Martin Buchanan is playing the lead, uh-huh. Scannarell, the doctor of the title. His wife is being played by Katie Gilchrist. The gag of it is that he is just kind of he's a ragtag wastrel who's been married to this very patient woman for who knows decades. They have children, I know that. And his main job is that he gathers twigs and sells them as firewood to people. But he and his wife are always bickering, and he goes off to gather his twigs, and two men appear in the forest, and they are members of the household of a very wealthy landowner not far away, whose daughter has come down with a mysterious malady that she's lost the ability to speak. And they ask Scannarell's wife, Martine, they ask her if she knows of any men who are off the charts who might be magical, mysterious medical people who could work wonders, who may not be in the mainline, because the mainline doctors have tried and failed to cure this girl. And she decides that this is a way to get back at her husband. She says, yeah, there's a guy over here who is a magnificent doctor. He can cure anything, but he doesn't like to be known as a doctor. The only way that he'll admit to being a doctor is if you beat him. So you can see where this is going. Scannarell, of course, has no idea what's going on, and he denies being a doctor, and they start hitting him with sticks. He says, okay, all right, I'm a doctor. I didn't know. I went to medical school.
This would go over well where other places I work, and you sometimes as well.
Right. So this is literally a slapstick comedy. I mean, we will literally be using slapsticks, which are a device that is centuries old, used to make a sound as if it hurts, but in fact it's just two pieces of wood slapping against each other.
Sure.
But that's the source of the slapstick term, and this is very broadly slapstick.
So they can come on December 4th,
yep,
with a performance starting at 7 o'clock p.m. to the Just Off Broadway Theater. That's the very south end of Pin Valley Park, right by 31st Street. And they tell me it's easier to get into now. So I guess they've done some work over there.
Well, the access to the building is great. The finding your way to where the building is challenging, because you can see it from 31st and Broadway. You can see it from 31st and Central, but if you're looking at it, you're looking from a bridge down below. Right. So I would encourage people to go to the Just Off Broadway website and Google it and use their website's direction. Don't just let MapQuest or whatever they're all called find it, because they'll send you to some place in North Kansas City that has a similar address.
Oh, no.
But it really is. It's at the right near the intersection of 31st and Central, except you're a flight, you're underneath, that's where the bridge is, and so you need to go down Wyandotte in order to get there.
Yeah, that's the only
concern. If you're approaching from the south.
And forgive me, people over there, but that comes here, the people come here all the time saying that they have difficulty getting there, so that we need to find easier ways.
But really, go to the Just Off Broadway website, and they have clear directions to follow.
That's a good suggestion.
And it's a wonderful theater.
And that's for a doctor in spite of himself.
That's right.
That is on December 4th. Now, on December 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Stage 2, at Musical Theater Heritage, they are the main leasee of that space, and they sublease it to other groups, one of them being Earth.
That's true. And then we're doing an adaptation of Dylan Thomas's wonderful memory piece called A Child's Christmas in Wales. As your listeners probably know, Thomas was one of the premier poets of the English language in the 20th century, and he wrote this wonderful piece. Originally, it started out as an article, and then was produced as a radio piece, and it gradually expanded until it became this full piece that's now has been published as A Child Christmas in Wales. He grew up in Swansea, Wales, which coincidentally was where my maternal grandfather grew up. And so this has been something that I've known about for a long time, but I'd never read. My mother, in fact, had a copy that I assume was my grandfather's on a little knick-knack shelf in our hallway in Prairie Village. I never picked it up to read it. My younger daughter was doing a fellowship in Phoenix last year, and I drove her, we caravaned to get her set up in her apartment, and I went to Johnson County Central Library and picked out a bunch of books on tape, which are, not, of course, not on tape anymore, audiobooks, I guess. And one of them was the Cadman recording of Thomas doing his own reading of his and other poets' work, and one of them was A Child's Christmas in Wales. And I, you know, I listened to whatever else I was listening to, and then I just picked this up and put it in my CD player in the car, and I was just smitten by it. He's a very, I'll say, self-impressed and self-indulgent reader, particularly maybe of his own work. He has this wonderful melodious voice, and it's just, it was just great to hear it read. The imagery is just delightful, and though I certainly didn't grow up in Swansea, Wales, there are a lot of things that are were familiar to me, not only from my grandfather, but just from being around any place at Christmas time. And so this, Doug and I are considering this as our holiday gift to our patrons and donors and our, the veterans who've been in these 16 productions that we've done. We invite you and them to come and enjoy this. It's very, should be very brief. I don't suppose it's going to be much more than a half an hour, but we'll have some chance to be together in the holidays and share his memories. And in this case with, well, five of the most wonderful actors in Kansas City and me.
Well, include yourself.
And these are names that you will recognize for sure. Bob Brand, Robert Gibby Brand, and Michael Rapport. Merle Moores, Kathleen Worfel, Jeannie Averill, again under Doug's direction.
Yeah, and Doug has a famous wife too, although she probably will be at the Christmas Carol. Cheryl Weaver.
She will be there at the Christmas Carol, but she and Doug are also working together at the next show of Spinning Tree at just off Broadway. And if I had a gun to my head, I couldn't come up with the name of the title.
I'm sure we'll hear about it.
Well, it's a one-woman show about Diana Vreeland, the fashion, the editor of Vogue, I guess it is. And it should be a fascinating piece. And, of course, Cheryl's wonderful in anything. And she and Doug, shall we say, work together rather well. Okay. And they have since they were students together at KU.
Yeah, they have at least one big collaboration running around out there.
They do indeed.
Do you have a website? I wasn't able to find one.
I'm sorry. It's rightbetweentheears.com.
Oh, okay. You're going to use that one.
We'll have all that information about both performances. And the thing, other than the directions to the Just Off Broadway, I want to make sure that people know that Phoenix KC and their Out Loud series starts all their readings at 7 o'clock. Ours are at 7:30. So the Phoenix KC reading of Doctor in Spite of Himself will be at 7 on the 4th, but ours will be at 7:30 on the 18th.
Okay. Now, you mentioned three earlier. We've covered two.
Well, the third one won't be until the spring.
Okay.
But again, it's a play that is sadly very topical. It's Arthur Miller's The Crucible.
I see, yes.
And we haven't assembled the cast yet, though we have made our little notes in pencil about who we're hoping to get. And that'll be in March. And what we'd love for people to do is sign up, go to the website and sign up and get and like our Facebook page and all that stuff that I really don't know that much about. But go to the website so that you're on the mailing list and we will inform you about all that.
So if they go to the rightbetweentheears.com website, they can learn about that.
Did I say right between the ears?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Completely disregard that, folks. It's earthkc.com.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I've got right between the ears in my head because we just did our final show last Saturday.
Yeah. Not sorry to see that happen.
Oh, I'm just can't tell you how sad I am.
Wow.
As your listeners may know, it's been a radio comedy show on the air for 32 years.
Wow.
And Saturday night was our final farewell. We had veterans back who had been in the show before and came back for the last show, our last hurrah, and it was just a glorious evening. So forgive me, not rightbetweentheears.com. Our website is earthkc.com.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I wasn't trying to sneak in an extra plug because
One's
done.
No, that's fine. You, John Jessup, many others.
Yep. Over the years. Roberta Solomon was back. Yeah. Terry Wagner was back. Roberta Andy Meyer, of course, is
Roberta
always.
Roberta is a wonderful voice, isn't
yep.
she?
And you hear, she was. We were listening to KCPT, and there's her voice announcing sure. the next show.
She sure does. I want to mention Kip was. Well, it's been probably a year now. Was in a film where he played. Alan Fieldhouse on the KU campus. Well, that's 4C Fog, Alan, and you played that part.
That's right, I did. And I'll tell you, it's more than a year ago. It's now, it's now 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Time really goes fast.
Actually, 4 years ago.
You coached Wilt Chamberlain in the film.
I did.
That's right.
It was a wonderful experience. Kevin Wilmot was the director and the writer. And they're doing a tribute to Kevin at the Alumni Center in Lawrence. The first week in December, they're screening several of his films and to analyze the political aspects of many of them. And Jayhawkers was certainly an example of that.
Oh, sure.
Because when Wilt came to KU, Lawrence was hardly integrated, although Dr. Allen told him that he would find it that it was not at all like those schools down south like uh-huh. Duke and North Carolina. We wouldn't want you to go there. Come here because you'll find it just like Philadelphia. Not at sure. all. So, but he was the force of great change there.
It was. Well, let's recap for you. Two performances coming up for the Equity Actors Readers Theater. The first one on December the 4th, Doctor in Spite of Himself, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Just Off Broadway Theater, part of the Out Loud series over there. And then on December 18th at 7:30 p.m. at Theater Number 2 of Musical Theater Heritage. That is in Crown Center, where the movie theaters used to be, on the far north side of Crown Center, on the second floor, I believe.
Third floor,
mm-hmm. I believe, of Crown Center, a production of some of the works of Dylan Thomas at that time. And Kip will be there. Are you going to be involved in both of them as a talent, as well as producing?
In the first one, I'm just going to be the author, taking notes and hearing when people laugh or don't. And then the second one, I'm actually going to be one of the people on stage.
That's how it works
as
well.
That's only the second time I've done this.
Sure. Go to earthkc.com for more information on all of that and the upcoming performances and probably interesting little tidbits about the Equity Actors Readers Theater and all the activities they have going on. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure as always,
Kip
Michael.
Niven, he's been on the stage, he's been on the screen, he's been on television, he's been here locally in shows as well. See him as well. In some of those things. You probably recognize the face. I do occasionally on things I see. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
The Jazz Insider is not next. I see Barry Lee preparing to come on and fill in for him. But I have a feeling that nothing will change. I have a feeling that it'll be some of the finest jazz going on anywhere in town from 1 to 3 this afternoon. And then we'll pick up with the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoke. We'll see you next time.